The large house where the exchange students are expected to live. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a big four-story affair. Laundry has to be done, rooms updated, food ordered. Everything needs to be clean and tidy for regular inspections. It's one thing to have people who are canine morphs or cat morph, bunnies, every other possible terrestrial animal. But individuals from beyond, forest spirits, centaurs, snake women, in this particular case, a spider girl as well. These are rarer. Perhaps it has something to do with ancient witch hunting and persecution. Maybe it's because various species have their own lands beyond that place, beyond the realm of normal societal interaction. You wouldn't think to invade land belonging to spider people or forest spirits or the vast swaths of territory belonging to centaur herds. But these women have decided to come and visit. Any individuals living here with you now really deserve the benefit of the doubt. And even though she seems standoffish at first, this girl in particular has volunteered to help. Granted, she wanted to work alone, so maybe that doesn't bespeak well for integration between these species. But she offered to clean the storeroom with evident glee. So, you go to the storeroom. This is where everything from excess clothing, emergency supplies, bits of repair material are kept. It also borders on the pantry, so organizing that is part of her responsibility as well. You walk down the old but polished and well-repaired corridor. You find yourself standing at the storeroom entrance, which is left ajar. You walk. You feel something against your leg. You feel something firm laid across the doorway. It breaks when you push on it, though. A bit of spider webbing laid across. There's a faint whistling sound at the edge of your hearing. And then a gentle inversion, falling forward. But it is comforting and slow. Something is wrapped around your ankles. You're slowly hoisted into the air. You see red, shimmering eyes off in the darkness. A woman coming closer, smiling, her fangs showing. Well, well, well. What have we here? I told you I could handle this. You don't have to be intruding. She's looking at you, turning you by moving her spinnerets to tug bits of webbing she's already distributed around the room. As she does turn you, you can see she has every crate organized perfectly. Every bit of storage material has been exactingly dusted, placed, numbered. She's well ahead of the game. None of the other individuals living here would have organized it quite so quickly, but there is the small detail, the fact you are dangling with web around your feet, hanging from the ceiling, looking at her vast body, its many clicking insectoid legs. Her upper body is a woman's upper body. In fact, it seems from just above the mid-leg, every bit of a woman's body above that, she's wearing only a meager outfit. A black, shining brassiere, arm coverings. You notice her chitinous fingers showing. But overall, it is a beautiful human form. She even has a loincloth to hide the space between her legs, where her upper body begins to join the vast insectoid thorax with its slashing and lashing legs. She has two human arms as well. You notice her many red eyes, six of them, some covered by her long purple hair, light purple, almost gray or silver. She's staring at you with a complicated expression on her face. You ask to be let down. She places one hand over her mouth, tittering faintly. Eventually. Then she goes back to the nearby shelves and resumes organizing. She is counting up bandages, checking spare rolls of fabric. She's even opened the kits with needle and thread, and the first aid kits as well, laid them out, resumes packing them back up. You hang there, turning gently, admiring her handiwork, but also mentally trying to address the thorny problem of asking to be let down. You watch her legs as she turns, and actually quite admire the delicacy and precision with which she moves. Her body is larger, but it is no challenge to her to mill between the shelves. This room also contains various records and files, and though it wasn't her job to organize those, you notice that what you have just been plonking down on shelves has been filed away in the cabinets. She turns eventually, though, turning her head over her shoulder, looking at you with six keen eyes. So, you're here for something. She minces closer. Could it be me? One eye winks, just one. She looks at you, leans in. You're hanging inverted, so when she leans up and brings her lips close to yours, all you can see is her tremendous rack, barely restrained by that dark lace-fringed wrap she places over her breasts. You watch as she moves and sways, deliberately making her breasts wiggle, moving. Her lips touch yours, lightly, briefly. You don't kiss back, frozen, laying there, one of your charges making a move on you. She pulls away, a complex expression still on her face. Well, I thought for sure you'd be groping them by now. She turns away, clattering up one of the shelves without dislodging a single item, making her way to the top. She pulls away some bundles of something folded, white, and quite shiny. I made this silk for repairs. I know the other girls are always tearing their outfits. She sets it aside on a shelf, categorized and filed like everything else. Places a clipboard on the table and prepares to walk out, her legs clattering on the floor. She turns you so you can watch her leave. Watch the way she folds her arms, the way she looks smiling back over her shoulder but keeps walking. You raise your voice and ask to be let down. She pauses, as if this were an afterthought or an unexpected request. And why should I? She walks back toward you. After all, you got yourself up there, stumbling in, interfering. I did say I wanted to be left alone. She runs her finger down your cheek, or rather up your cheek to your neck. You can feel the blood rush into your head, invigorating. She reaches out and slowly, despite what she said, plucks the strands of web away from some larger construct up in the rafters of this huge room and pulls you down into her arms. You rest there with your head against her breasts. So, now you are fondling me. Whatever would they say if I told them? She pulls you tight against her. You almost want to say that since you're a student, there's no such restriction, that you're not really the coordinator, you're just filling in, but there's no real room to say anything with your face pressed right into her chest, breathing deeply of whatever sweet perfume she uses, as she squeezes her breasts around your head, quite on purpose. You feel the web again. Now it's starting from your toes. She's wrapping you up in long, tight strands of it, your legs bound together, your thighs squirming, moving your upper body. You breathe deeply. You pull yourself against her, unthinking, wondering, feeling her soft skin. Her upper body is just a woman pressed to you. Huge breasts, her hair just to the nape of her neck, pulled back as she smiles at you, making sure you can see all of her eyes looking up, your mouth and cheeks buried between her huge, pliable breasts. You look up and see her smile, her fanged smile. More and more of your body is being woven in a webbed cocoon by her long legs, squeezing your legs together, making your belly feel taut, pleasant. It's really quite silken and comfortable, not sticky at all. She's being careful, wrapped up, pulled against her. You can feel the power of her vast body, her many legs moving, pulling the two of you to the side of the room, so if anyone did look in through the door, they would see nothing. You try to say something, but she's got your mouth muffled with her huge breasts. In fact, she pulls her top out of the way and brings one of her nipples to your lips. You suck unthinkingly, which is good because she grabs your ass with one of her human hands, pulling you right against her, rubbing and massaging, and you feel it through the silk. In fact, it feels magnified through the silk. She's moving the strands out of the way so she can dive her fingers in and just grip your buttocks, pushing your mouth against her nipple, making you suck and lick and kiss, your mind reeling with this sudden development, bound against her, caught in helplessness, your whole body sending those waves of heat between your legs. Your eyes are rolling back, your shoulders are rocking, swaying, pulled to her, and all you can do is lay there in the storeroom against her body, her cradling you powerfully, keeping you locked in place. Making sure that every time you shiver or try to escape, the web gets a little tighter. Her hold gets a little more powerful, and you just groan. The stimulation of her breasts is making you hot, making you drip. The feel of her close to you is enough to set your teeth on edge. She's magnificent and holding you, and this suddenness here. So you are just a pervert with designs on all of us after all, she says. Then you feel her push you against the wall. You wonder if she's going to ravish you, going to press you down right there. But it seems some part of the cocoon was sticky, because now that it's reached your shoulders, a wrapping tight bondage sheet of silken spider web from toe to shoulder. She presses you there and you stick. She steps back, pulling her breast away. It leaves your mouth with a pop. As you try to hold the nipple in, she looks down at her saliva-covered breast as if it were an indictment, jiggling the big, bountiful chest, then pulling her garment back over it. She turns, arms crossed in a huff, raising her nose, turning her head to one side, opening just one eye to look at you. Well, I guess I have the measure of you, then. And then, arms still folded, her many legs clatter and skitter toward the door, her vast, dark spider body leaving the room, leaving you stuck to the wall, evidence for anyone who wanders in here. You wonder if she's going to tell anyone, or if you're going to spend all night there until someone comes looking for you.